The Pharisee prays, O God, I thank you that I am not like the rest of humanity, greedy, dishonest, adulterous, or even like this tax collector. Now, my first thought is, thank God I'm not like this Pharisee. But of course, such a reaction would be to fall into the very same pride which trapped the disdainful Pharisee. Friends, how easy it is for such arrogance to take root in our souls, especially by invidious comparison. And this danger is particularly acute for those who want to know and live the gospel and follow the Lord Jesus in the way of the cross. Self-righteousness is always a mortal danger for religious people, and the Pharisees sought to be deeply religious men by studying the law in all its beauty and grandeur, precisely so that they could draw closer to God. But in their zeal for the law, the Pharisees too often miss the entire point of God's revealed word, namely that we must be reconciled to God by conversion in order to live in full communion with the Lord and with all other people. And we must be restored to communion with God through divine mercy, because we are all sinners. So the Pharisee in the parable, standing in the temple to pray, but filled with contempt for others, was not fulfilling the law, but actually closing himself off from all authentic communion with others, including with the Lord. Because all of the law comes to this: you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. Meanwhile, the tax collector, a despised collaborator of the hated Roman oppressors of Israel, the tax collector knew that he was far from God and lost in unrighteousness. And so St. Luke tells us that the tax collector stood off at a distance and would not even raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast and prayed, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The Lord assures us that the tax collector went home justified and the Pharisee did not, because whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and the one who humbles himself will be exalted. And recall that last week we listened to the Savior instructing the 12 that they must pray always without becoming weary in order to answer the question, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Today's parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector is the continuation of that narrative from last Sunday. And both texts are about the same themes: our complete dependence on the grace of God, our radical inability to earn or buy our justification before God, and our total need to live by grace, through faith, hope, and love, in order to find and fulfill our eternal destiny. But living by grace, through faith, hope, and love, with complete dependence upon the Lord, first requires the disposition of humility, which is why the Pharisee failed in his temple prayers despite his knowledge of the law. But exactly what is this humility of which we are in need? Well, perhaps being humble means not so much thinking less of myself as to think of myself less. Or perhaps it means to be aware of my sins and flaws and to see myself as others do, most especially as God sees me. But at root, the word humble, from the Latin humus, means to be grounded, because humus refers to the soil. After all, we are made by God from the dust of the earth, and to that dust we shall return, earth to earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. And so true humility comes from our mindfulness of mortality, our willingness to be changed by grace through conversion from sin, and our readiness to trust in the living God, something about which we read in our first lesson today from the book of Sirach, one of the final texts of the Old Testament to be composed about 175 years before the birth of the Lord Jesus. Sirach was written in Hebrew by a scribe named Yeshua ben Sira ben Eliezer. And so the text is known by the name of the author's father, Jesus, son of Sirach. The original Hebrew text was lost for 15 centuries, but it was translated into Greek by the author's own grandson, who also wrote a prologue about his translation. The book of Sirach does not appear in Protestant Bibles, in part because of the church's reliance on the Greek translation rather than the Hebrew original. But there are several allusions to Sirach in the letter of James and in the teaching of the Lord Jesus. The book of Sirach belongs to the genre of wisdom literature in Holy Scripture, as do the Psalms, the books of Job, Proverbs, and Ecclesiastes, the Song of Songs, and the Wisdom of Solomon, which is another of the seven scriptural texts not found in Protestant Bibles, but accepted in the canon of the Bible by the Catholic Church and all the Orthodox churches. The book of Sirach, also called the Wisdom of Sirach, is relatively long, at just over 50 pages in most Bibles, and it contains ethical teaching presented as maxims or pithy sayings, which makes it ideal for handing on moral wisdom to students. The author of Sirach knew and loved the law of Moses, and he also loved the temple, the priesthood, and divine worship as that was practiced in Jerusalem 2 centuries before the atoning death and glorious resurrection of the Messiah. And so for all of these reasons, Christians should read and pray with the wisdom of Sirach to understand more deeply the teaching and sacrifice of the Lord Jesus. Today's lesson from Sirach confirms that the Lord hears the prayers of the humble, the poor, the widowed, the lonely, and the dispossessed. We read that the prayer of the lowly pierces the clouds. It does not rest till it reaches its goal, nor will it withdraw till the Most High responds, judges justly, and affirms the right. And this is the same wisdom of which the psalmist sings, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and those who are crushed in spirit he saves." Which brings us back to the tax collector in the temple. "O God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Friends, this fallen world is a mess, and too often the church is little better. The world is a mess, and the church is always in need of being reformed, because we are all sinners in need of redemption. And that is why all of the baptized are called to sanctify the world and to work always to reform and purify the church. But while we respond to our vocation to be both hearers and doers of the Word of God, we must never forget the dangers of arrogance and self-righteousness. And so we should always seek to live in humility through mindfulness of our sins, our inevitable death, and our constant need for God's grace and mercy. This week, we enter the final month of the old year of grace. And from now into the first weeks of Advent, the sacred liturgy turns our attention to the four last things: death and judgment, heaven and hell. The scripture readings in these weeks will unfold for us the approaching end of days and teach us to live every day against the horizon of eternity by following the Lord Jesus in the way of the cross as his faithful students and loving friends. And that in turn requires us to be ready to bear our share of hardship for the sake of the gospel in humility. But above all, we should evermore be grateful to the living God, grateful for our lives and for our salvation. And that is why we give thanks each Lord's Day in the Most Holy Eucharist. And in so doing, we express a gratitude made possible by grace alone through the faith, hope, and love which come from knowing, living, and sharing the saving truth that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.